Wole Soyinka, Isara, A Voyage Around Essay. Ashtabula. Soditan eased out the envelope with foreign stamps addressed in a bold, sweeping cursive. It was already slit open, and as he released the neatly folded sheets, his spare frame responded to the emerging treat and he visibly relaxed. The luxury of reading and rereading his private correspondence was one in which he indulged whenever possible in the privacy of his Sara, especially when he returned there out of season. Season was New Year, harvest or Easter, or whenever the ex-Eles agreed to meet in the hometown for a special occasion, usually a wedding, a grand funeral or a housewarming for one of the circle who had finally returned to sender. This meant more than a simple homecoming. It was homecoming in a manner and on a scale that finally fulfilled the hopes and prayers, the nursed dreams and burdensome aspirations of that close community from which they were dispersed to nearly every region of the country. Success and its embodiment on their natal soil, preferably in the form of a modest but modern house, was a return to sender. In a seasonal re-entry, one was never alone. Addo, Ibadan, Jos, Ede, Benin, all places of exile, descended on the small community, retailing accounts of the intervening months, swapping anecdotes, doctoring failures, and decking out successes. Off-season visits were peaceful. There were hours of quiet intimacy with Mariam, his mother, and Pa Soditan, his father. Hours to pick his way between recumbent sheep and sunken water pots, which lined the shadowy passages. Ducking beneath the low trestles from which indigo-dyed cloths would drip on busier days. To acknowledge the few greetings without their usual accompanying impositions, the demands and inquiries. It was as if the town had evolved a tacit understanding. No one bothered Tisa, or Omo Josiah, with the casual request for monetary help, a letter of introduction for a job seeker, assistance with admission to a school. All this was somehow restricted to the seasonal visits. Of course, most of the inhabitants were out on their farms, living in makeshift homes for weeks, even months at a time, or had travelled to Lagos, Ibadan and Kano further north on trading forays. No matter. Isara, out of season, was without the usual incursions on his presence, peaceful and somewhat lonely, steeped in an unshakable languor which spread even over the marketplace. The Oba's palace, despite the lounging figures of the royal retinue in the veranda and the rare appearance of a brace of chiefs in robes and shawl, appeared curiously untenanted. The few public centres, such as the clinic, tax office and native authority court, exuded a mere symbolic air, languishing for lack of patronage. The gates to the Eledi would creak open only once or twice. A priest would emerge, shut the gate carefully behind him, and shuffle homewards with eyes cast to the ground, greeted by and greeting none, his silence inviolate as the heart of divination. Only the primary school, St. James's, where Akinyode himself began his journey to adulthood, seemed to contest the general lethargy. Yet even here the teachers merely led in muted voices their pupils' rote responses, no different from the small clumps of pupils in the open-air Quranic school on the other side of the market from the palace. Bored voices, vacant stares, stirring to life only when the malam's sporadic whip beat a slow tattoo on their docile heads. Nothing really stirred, not the sheep with huge pregnancies hugging the shadows of red mud walls. The solitary hawker made the rounds of the few tenanted passages, her hawking cries more dirged than full-throated, no rousing accent to entice the indifferent. Built into the hillside of red laterite, Isara at such periods was neither hostile nor welcoming, it was simply indifferent. The stone shrapnels of its walls and rust of corrugated roofs belying the lushness of the valley below, which wove a moist sash round the town on nearly every side.